Well, welcome. Here we are, Pastor Nate, Pastor Dave, and Pastor Dave here doing some conversational exposition. And here we are in Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 through 9. Pastor Dave, would you want to read this for us?
Sure. It says, "If you meet an enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt."
All right, okay. Is it too much to say that these five or six verses, you could translate this, be nice and be honest to one another.
Right.
Isn't this remarkable? I mean, there's really, look right there in verse 4. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. Yep. Now, is that like in human nature to do that?
Well, no way. I mean, this idea of enemy, first of all, is so foreign, you know, but it's the idea of like, hey, no matter what, be nice.
Right. Well, I thought, you know, if you were a follower of God, you just didn't have enemies anymore.
Yeah, well, you might have.
That's not in the Bible.
It's really not, is it? I mean, the Bible's so real about this. You know, I remember a long time ago seeing, when I was going to community college in Ventura, I saw a poster up like on a kiosk thing, and it said this. It said, "Enemies are friends whom we choose to misunderstand." And I thought, what a, you know, pile of stupid. I mean, that's not how the Bible thinks of it. Yeah. Jesus looked us square in the eye and he said, you're going to have enemies. Mm. Now, here's how you deal with them.
Yeah.
You love them. You got to treat them kindly. You got to be good to them. I like how it says a little bit later, if you see the donkey of one who hates you,
yeah,
that man hates me, but I'm still obligated to show kindness to him because it's just the right thing to do.
How easy it is to show kindness to those who you like and who like you back.
Didn't Jesus say something right along those lines?
It's very easy, yeah. I mean, I don't know what he said or
okay,
how
well, he said
it,
something along these lines. I'll paraphrase. He says, what credit is it to you you love those who love you? Who cares? Big deal. You know, hooray. Mm-hmm. You're nice to the people who are nice to you.
Yeah.
But here we see that idea, that heart of God the Father, it didn't begin in the teaching of Jesus, though we would say it was perfected in the teaching of Jesus. But no, we see very powerfully, it's reflected way back here in the book of Exodus.
And it really goes to show you, it's not about how you feel towards the person that dictates how you treat them. You know, it's not your feelings that matter, but what God's Word says.
So there's a place for me to say, I feel terrible about Nate Wagner. Nevertheless, I'm obliged to treat him in a godly, kind way. I just got to leave my feelings outside of it. Wow, that's powerful.
That is powerful. That righteousness would exceed emotion. You know,
I like that. That's good.
Very powerful.
That's good. Mm. All right, now verse 6, he also says, you shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute.
Mm.
Now, isn't it funny? We just saw in our last little section, God said, don't show partiality to the poor. Now, isn't he basically saying just the opposite?
Yeah.
Don't show partiality against the poor either.
Mm.
Because it's easy to err on either way.
Yeah.
But that's not God's heart in the slightest. Mm. Being poor didn't make one right in a legal dispute, but it shouldn't keep you from keeping a fair hearing and getting justice either.
Mm.
All right, what's next here? Verse 7?
See, keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous.
Well, so it's just upholding truth there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, don't have anything to do with anything that's false, but have everything to do with something that is true.
You know, this is so huge on a societal level. Mm-hmm. I think about it how it relates to the Arab-Israeli conflict. You know what I think is one of the most fundamental reasons in the modern world? I'm not talking about the spiritual reasons behind it, which are profound and significant. But I'm talking about just the fundamental cultural reasons for the hatred that Arab people, many of them in the Middle East, have towards Israeli people, is the lies they believe.
Hmm.
they are constantly bombarded with lies in their media, in their universities, in their social settings, all over the place, in their schools. They're bombarded with lies that says these Israelites are wicked, hateful people. Mm. It's commonly believed in the Arab world that, for example, it's a practice of Jews today to kill Gentile children and to use their blood in the making of Passover matzah.
Wow.
Now, you know what? If that were true of the Jewish people, which of course it's not, but if it were true of them, they would deserve the hatred. But you see, it's these lies that have such incredible power and that have the power to shape, you know, whole cultures in animosity and hatred towards other ones.
Is it the same as with the Nazis, the same way kind of did that same type of propaganda?
Course. Yes, yeah. Yes. That kind of
the reason. They're the reason why we're
yes.
like this.
Yes, lies, lies, lies. And you'll see it practiced in many different ways on many different forms. Mm. And that's why we really have to be a people of truth, to keep ourselves from a false matter.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but in verse 7, I could not read, "Do not kill the innocent and righteous," without having one thing flash in my mind, right?
Abortion.
Abortion.
Right.
I don't know if there's anything more innocent than a child in the womb.
Wow.
It hasn't done anything. And God says, you should have a heart to protect and to care for. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous.
Wow.
And then he continues on there, for I will not justify the wicked.
Yes.
And it's just heavy.
Yes.
But it's interesting, as you guys are saying that about abortion, I was kind of thinking about, well, what about our Lord, Jesus? He was innocent and righteous. And he was killed upon the cross.
Well, justice was perverted in his case. Yeah. You know, one of the most fascinating things to think about and to approach the trials of Jesus and the judicial process that he went through, because he went through a judicial process before he went to the cross, how justice was really denied him and railroaded, and how the Jewish people and the Romans, for that matter, went against so many of their own principles of justice. And they did this. They put this innocent and righteous man to death. Verse 8, you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous.
Wow.
That's heavy. You know, what's interesting about this is, you know, here in our American culture, we don't have a big culture of bribery. I'm not saying it doesn't exist anywhere, but it's not ingrained. You know, man, there's other cultures where bribery is deeply ingrained in how you do business. Now, Christians have been very challenged when they go and try to serve and minister in those cultures. Yeah. They're faced, do I pay a bribe or not? And wouldn't you say that you'd have to lean towards the idea here, definitely, to say, don't do it.
Yeah.
Even though everybody else does it, even though that's the way to get things done, don't do it. It's wrong. It perverts justice.
Yeah. It'd be such a challenge to do that. I remember being in Mexico one time, and a police officer there, I had a pocket knife. He took my pocket knife, and I guess you can't carry them there or something, and...
You were obviously dangerous.
I was very dangerous. I had students everywhere anyway. Yeah. And he wanted me to give him money to get the knife back. He took it from me, and I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Yeah. But I had all these students there. I was like, you know, I'm not going to pay this guy. I'm not going to do that. And I walked away. I lost the knife, but it worked out in the end, I think.
Good, you kept this commandment.
Kept the commandment. But I can see how hard it would be, like you say, live, you know, being a missionary, and that's the way of the culture again. You got this whole culture based on bribery. It's
God's just creating this idea of just living a righteous life.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, living in under His standard, and not under man's standard, and living above what man would say, oh, this is the way you should do it.
I say no. You're to be separate, you're to be holy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just at the end there, verse 9, it talks about, and you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger.
Yeah.
You know, again, God emphasizing, he's repeated before. I think we're supposed to get a little bit of idea of the emphasis from this repetition. God cares about how we treat the other, not just people from our own tribe, our own clique, our own group. We need to be reaching out to other people as well. Good. All right, we'll pause here, pick it up at verse 10 next time.